We're back with Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
inside of the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Like, is that actually true? Are we actually really trying to run the Patriots Tom Brady King mastermind offense here in Bad Word, Houston? I mean, they CJ Stroud has said in a press conference that they watch film on the old Patriots to see what Brady does. Leaves together. Like, it's yes. The answer to that is yes. Rocky still don't think Casario gets fired, question mark. Hires three rookie OCs. Okay, so are we giving Kaylee to Casario? Like, D'Amico has final say on the coaching staff. So are we giving Kaylee to Casario? I understand it's an easy leap to make considering they spend time together in New England. What's D'Amico's ties to Kaylee? But if the head coach has final say, he could void Nick Kaylee.
I don't know the coach's final say. Like, I'd like to believe he does. But
DJ Bienemy tweeted today that he does.
I mean, then it's on both of them. I think it's on now. If it's on, so if Nick Casario is the one saying this is the guy I want you to hire, then yeah, Nick Casario deserves blame for that. But if D'Amico signed off on, he deserves as much blame as Nick Casario. He doesn't get a pass in this just because he's a former beloved player. Like, you don't get a pass starting 0-3.
But he will. This and that. Like, if there is one scapegoat, it'll be Casario ahead of D'Amico.
Totally agree. It's the problem with hiring former players as your coaches. They get too long of a leash typically. It doesn't work. And now I'm going to use two college basketball references here. But look at Patrick Ewing and Georgetown. Disaster. Now, it's still not much better there. But, like, they had a hard time because that's one of the most important players in Georgetown history. Look at Chris Mullins and St. John's. Disaster. You make it really challenging when you make a hire like this because it's going to upset people if you have to move on. And typically ownership groups or organizations will want to give that person a longer, you know, chance to succeed. But yeah, it's whoever made the hire should take the brunt of this decision. And even if they fire Nick Kaylee and everyone else stays in place, should there be any level of confidence that they're going to get it right?
No. I mean, if you're going to hire a new offense coordinator, you need to tell the offense coordinator bring in whatever it takes to make this offense successful. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you have full autonomy with this offense.
You basically need a veteran head coach who's out of a job.
Probably.
You need like a Doug Peterson, essentially, someone that has a lengthy resume, because your next offensive coordinator is also probably your head coach. It's probably your next interim head coach if you have to fire D'Amico.
Yeah, I don't want to think that way, but you're probably right.
But
like,
it's true.
It's Kubiak with Wade.
That's probably who the offensive coordinator should be, to be honest.
Kubiak?
Just bring back Kubiak.
Kubiak wouldn't be a terrible interim.
Honestly, they would have been better off hiring Bill O'Brien as the offensive coordinator.
He probably wouldn't have taken the job.
Like, if they're going to run this Patriots offense, at least Bill could have run it.
Oh, I have faith that O'Brien would be a better OC for the Texans than Kaylee.
Yeah.
No, I have no doubt. Because, I mean, look, he made Deshaun look good.
Yeah.
Deshaun looked at his best and a very, very good under Bill O'Brien. And then he goes, and he was different quarterback injuries, off the field stuff. But he looked nothing like the old Deshaun when he went to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
No, I would take O'Brien over Kaylee without a shadow of a doubt. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRP listener line. Marcus, you're in the junkyard. What's up?
What's up, fellas? I just want to caution everyone not to give up on CJ Stroud. You know, we have examples that guys, if they get under the right system, they can flourish, i.e. Daniel Jones. And I just want to make another statement. Has anyone thought about, like, since Tank Dell went down, how bad this offense just looks? I'm not saying he's the, you know, the overall answer, but since he went down with that leg injury, this offense has not looked good, and that's with a bad offensive line. And I'll hang up and listen.
I mean, I definitely agree. I think that's each time Tank Dell has gotten hurt, whether that's his first year, second year, or not having him this year. This team has looked worse without him. But the unfortunate reality with Tank Dell is who knows if we're going to see him play for the Houston Texans again after that gruesome knee injury. Like, maybe we will, but I don't think it'd be fair to assume that after what we saw last year. And at the end of the day, it's your GM's responsibility to replace that player. And he's tried. He brought in three new wide receivers this year. And none of them have been able to replace Tank yet.
No, Tank is a loss because he gives you something that you either don't have or refuse to play, and that's like twitch. It's quick. It's separation. Like, these Texans receivers haven't been great at getting separation. Maybe it's the routes they're running. But Tank gave you that. Tank was an elite separator. Like, he wasn't the fastest guy point A to point B, but he was twitchy, incredibly quick, and was a great separator. So I think that there is some correlation there. I wouldn't give it total correlation, but I think you are onto something. And I, look, I'm not giving up on Stroud. Like, do I think C.J. Stroud's more talented than Daniel Jones? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do. Like, I don't think there's many quarterbacks more talented than C.J. Stroud. So I'm not giving up on Stroud. Like, is he playing good right now? Absolutely not. Am I ticked off he's wearing a Yankee hat to the game? Yeah, a little bit. I don't like that. Didn't you learn your lesson against Seattle?
No, he clearly
Plus,
didn't.
Like, oh, it's a fashion thing. Aren't you from L.A.?
Yep.
Aren't you from L.A. See, and you're wearing a New York hat? Like, East Coast, West Coast? Like, what's going on?
See, the thing with CJ has done a lot of cutesy things. It's probably the nicest way to put it since he became the quarterback of the Houston Texans. They got a pass for. You know, talking bad about the women, saying the women are better in L.A. Talking bad about the food, saying the food's better in L.A. First of all, wrong.
Definitely wrong on that.
The Seattle hat, the Yankees hat, crowning themselves the top five quarterback in the NFL. All the podcast appearances, all that stuff is fun and games when you're awesome as a rookie, but when you stink, people are going to hold it against you. And yeah, I get it. He's not from here. We should not assume every player that arrives in Houston is going to be a fan of the teams. Then wear a Dodgers hat.
Like, yeah.
Have some self-awareness. I don't think it's the end of the world,
no.
But it's just going to piss off your fans. And that's all it's doing. It's just making them upset. That is, the Astros season is crumbling. You are representing the Mariners and the Yankees. It's just the bad look. It's bad PR. The PR staff should step in here and say, hey, dude, maybe wear an Astros hat to the next game.
It's a lack of touch. Like, the quarterback is symbolic with the organization. Hey, for better or worse, whether you like it or not, if you're the quarterback of a football team, you represent that football team. And look, is it going to influence his play on the field at all? No. If he went out and threw for 5 touchdowns, would I be annoyed less? Yes. But it lacks any sort of feel. And it's also, again, he's from L.A. and he's wearing a New York hat. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Like, are you loyal to the soil or not? It's just... It's odd. It's odd. Oh, it's fashion. Okay. Like, are there not other hats that you could have worn there that would also check the box of fashion and then not tick off your fan base that you're now 0-3 and like they're all mad at you? It lacks any sort of feeling.
You know what team have navy hats with just white lettering? The Astros. You can find Astros hats that accomplish
odd,
the same thing.
Junkie texted and said he's going to wear a European Ryder Cup hat next week.
that's how far is too, that's too far. You can't go outside the country.
I did bet on the European Ryder Cup team when it was in Europe.
I know. But I think that's okay.
Separation of feeling and
yeah, but typically the home field advantage there helps a lot.
Yeah, I like the U.S. chances this week.
It's going to be a great weekend of sports.
It is. 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRMP listener line. Israel, you're in the junkyard. What's up?
What up? Hey, the difference is with Coach Ryan, he's successful. He won 2 divisions back-to-back, former player or not. I don't know where that comes from. CJ can wear what he want to wear. Like, I'm big East Side Chicago, and he L.A. We not suburbanites. He wear what he want to wear. And he don't care what some people, you know what I mean? He don't care what nobody think. He wear what he want. We free men. It's 2025. He can care less. He got to perform. Now, I understand the O line is a little suspect. You know what I'm saying? He hasn't got off to a good start. He lost, you know, they lost 3 games. He has had his teams in position. It's been a little mishaps. All right? But if Mariota, Danny, the other guy in Tampa Bay, all these Jones and Donald, all these busts started their career as busts, and he in his 3rd year, like 23 years old, are you kidding me? He got a promising future, and if it's not in Houston, like Larry in D.C., he's doing fine. Now, like me, I've been here 20 years. And just because the Reed Shepard is a number 3 pick, ain't no hate. That's the truth. You can criticize everybody, the brothers, all day. But say something about the little leprechaun, like somebody came, he's a bust. They wasted the number 3 pick, and KD and the guys and Aiden, they're like, man, who is this guy? And get rid of him. He's not going to – he is not starting on nothing. He ain't even getting tired. All right.
See ya. I lost track of what he said.
Yeah, me too.
Stop paying attention there.
I mean, look, what I think the point is that to what we've been saying is in a better system, it can be better for CJ Stroud. I agree. But someone has to be held accountable for what's doing this. Like, you don't just get to, like, okay, you want to give DeMeco a pass because he's won two division championships. He's won two playoff games. You want to give CJ Stroud a chance, a pass? That's fine. Name me one coach in NFL history that has fired three offensive coordinators or fired two offensive coordinators and gotten a third and kept his job. It doesn't happen. There's a reason why it doesn't happen. Hell, Nick Caserio. But now the Texans are a little different, right? Nick Caserio is one of like two GMs to fire as many head coaches as he's fired and still have a job. That doesn't happen unless you're in San Francisco or you're here in Houston. Like, you don't fire that many head coaches and get a pass typically to get it right. He's gotten that pass. Whoever is responsible for it has to take some blame. Like, you want to say DeMeco and CJ deserve a pass because of what they accomplished the previous two seasons? That's fine, but someone has to get fired for this.
713-780-3776. Back out to the HRMP listener line. Julian, you're in the junkyard. What's up, Julian?
Man, I always get a laugh out of, callers such as the previous one. I wonder if CJ was not the same shade as him, he'd feel the same way. But I digress. CJ himself needs to be blamed. First, it was Slowick, right? Slowick's offense, he was the first year, oh my God, CJ's top five. He was doing the podcast, doing this all off season. So then the second year, Slowick was the scapegoat. Oh, well, I can't do nothing. I can't check nothing at the line, da 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 da. I need more freedom. Well, now he has more freedom. Now it's Kaylee's fault. Like, at what point do we say, hey, how about we anointed this young man a little too fast? I'm not saying he's trash. Not even saying he's a bust. But the whole organization was filling themselves before y'all really even did anything. Y'all beat some teams in the playoffs, and y'all went to the divisional, didn't get past it. And then out of nowhere, the whole city thought it was Super Bowl or bust. Calm down. The Astros, being as successful as they were, made this gave y'all this idea, the Houston fans, gave them this idea that every organization in the city is going to be that way, when in reality, man, it's up and down. It's going to be bad. It's going to be good. It's probably going to go bad again. And then who knows? Maybe next year he'll be better. But CJ is to blame. Because his first offseason, all he did was play patty cake with Micah. The second offseason, all he did was blame Slowick. Now, who's he going to point the finger at? DeMeco? Nick? I don't know, man. I hope y'all get it together, but it's going to be a long season. Y'all have a good one.
See you, Julian. Good points.
Yeah, I mean, but we don't typically see NFL teams go through this when you have your guy. Like, the Bengals are probably the exception here, right, that have had great success and then it's plummeted out. It hasn't happened with the Chiefs. It hasn't happened with the Bills. It hasn't happened with the Ravens. Like, these teams who, when you have a very good quarterback, don't typically, without an injury, have this much of a step backwards with a quarterback. So that's where, yeah, if you want to blame CJ, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, he is a common denominator in all of it. But if you were to power rank, like, what is wrong with this offense the last 2 years, where would CJ fall into place?
Okay, so offensive coordinator 1A, offensive line 1B.
Yeah, I'd probably go offensive line 1A over play caller.
Coordinators just suck. They're so bad.
Playmakers?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Playmakers staying healthy.
He had playmakers early last year, and he had Mixon last year. I mean, I think he's third or fourth.
I'd say third. I think
play caller, offensive line. I have him fourth. Play caller, offensive line. I mean, offensive line is number one for me. If you can't protect, you're gonna have a hard time winning football games. Offensive line, play caller, skill. CJ. And look, CJ deserves blame, but fourth on that list does matter.
Yeah, it does, because it's a blame game. We're not talking about how it's. You want this to be that CJ Stroud, like his rookie year, was the reason why the team was, succeeding, and now it's totally fair to say that he's the reason why the team's failing. It's look, this is It's a collective failure amongst this organization about how they're part of this, and that's why C.J. Stroud is there. And I guess it's, I think Nick Caserio probably.
He would be up there.
I would put him in front of C.J. too, because he kind of encapsulates all of it, right?
Yeah.
The offensive line issues, the skill position issues. Like, it's not his fault with the injuries, you know, losing Dell and Diggs,
right,
and Joe Mixon, all these different things. Like, he's tried to add. I give him a B for effort, but it hasn't worked.
I don't even have to give him that. The junkies want to talk Stroud. So who are we to tell him no? 713-780-3776. I also have never seen Israel, so I have no idea what he looks like, or Shade, or anything like that. I've never met him. I have no idea. I think we're jumping to conclusions there. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. We are in the thick of football season. Football's fun most of the time, but it's always fun on Underdog, because Underdog is the place to make picks and win money all season long. Playing Underdog is easy. It's fun to do. Pick whether or not your favorite players will go higher or lower on a bunch of different stats. Touchdowns, yards, interceptions, much, much more. And also new to Underdog, you can pick teams now. Yeah, you can pick whether or not your team will win or lose. Get your picks right and you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. And you can play with as little as $1. I won my picks this weekend. Did you? So much to play, so much fun to be had, so much money to win. Check out this Monday night stuff they got going on. How about a Lamar Jackson free pick? Do you think he's going to be higher than zero pass plus rush yards? Of course you do. It's a free pick. Get that Lamar Jackson free pick right now on Underdog. How about his pass rush yards, though? 285.5. You think he'll be higher or lower there? Jahmyr Gibbs, 55.5 rush yards, higher or lower? I like the higher there. Zay Flowers, 72.5 receiving yards, higher or lower? Get your picks in now. You know ball. Get over to Underdog and prove that you know ball. Also with Underdog, you have the originals. You have your drafts. You have your streak. Start a streak today. You have your ladders. The more you win. So download the app today. Sign up with promo code KILLERB to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. Promo code KILLERB, KILLERB. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog, make picks and win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms_DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. It's Jeremy and Joe. Devastating few days in Houston sports. Texans lose 0-3. Astros, we get to them later. They lose. They went 0-3 over the last 3 days. And then Fred VanVleet, potentially done for the year with a torn ACL. Bad few days, Houston sports. Texter, little junkie texting in. I don't want any remnants of the 2000 Patriots and the Texans in 2026. Fair enough. Let's not skip over the Texans severely benefited from the AFC South being one of the worst divisions in the league the last few years. There's no doubt. They beat up on divisional opponents, too. I think time has made people forget how predictable Slowick's offense was. Fair, but is it more predictable than Kaylee's offense? That's where I would push back on that one.
And even if it's more predictable, I think it's better. Again, I'm glad they fired Bobby Slowick, but
sure,
I think the offense is better. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It was a better system than they're running right now.
Yeah. The Houston Texans right now today, and I don't like looking at league stats before all the games have been played, so like I'll look tomorrow. But I took a peek today.
It's Detroit and Baltimore tonight.
Do you know where the Houston Texans rank in points per game?
Last.
Dead. last.
And I'm guessing it's not that close. I think the Raiders were the team that was like a point in front of them.
It's like 12 and a half points.
Yeah.
They're averaging like 12 and a half points a game. And they haven't, look, the Rams have a good defense. Tampa Bay, the Jets put up some numbers on them yesterday. The Jags, we don't think that they have a great defense.
They don't. Like, they do not.
So, I mean, you've averaged 12 and a half points through three games. Was Bobby Slowick ever averaging 12 and a half a game? When did C.J. Stroud have his most success? Like, I hate that we're arguing Slowick versus Kaylee, because Slowick deserved to get fired and all of that. But it shows you Nick Kaylee Weiss's ineptitude, mm-hmm. is that he looks like a Temu version of Bobby Slowick.
I mean, even the Rams, like, they gave up 19 points to the Titans. The Texans scored 9. They gave up 33 points to Jalen Hurts yesterday. And Jalen Hurts they had 7 going into halftime before the Eagles turned it on and finally realized A.J. Brown was on their football team again for the first time this season. But the Rams have not exactly had the most inspiring performances. I mean, 19 points to Cam Ward and the Titans. They scored 10 more points than you in that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Tony Pollard rushed for 92 yards against the Rams.
Not great.
I think the Texas point about the division is totally fair, but mm-hmm. I mean, you only can play in the division you're supposed to be in or that you're in, and now you're 0-1 in your division.
Sure.
This year.
5433, DM me at Jeremy Branham on Twitter. Pete, if Texans lose next game to the Titans, then the OC has to go. It depends on how you do it, but if they score 3 points against the Titans, then you probably wait a week until the Ravens, and then after that.
Because you get your bye week.
Yeah.
Install over the bye week, and then.
Yeah. You probably wait one more week.
Yeah.
CJ should wear the hat of his agent. Someone should ask Stroud if he's ever going to wear a Michigan hat to match a yellow and blue outfit.
Great question. That's
a good point. I don't think he would. Texter, he's laying the groundwork to get out. Another junkie wearing a Yankees hat shows no self-awareness. Do you think he's just dumb? No, I think he's probably trying to prove a point. Like, hey, I'm going to do me. I don't care what you say. Which I kind of applaud. Like, I don't really. I like that. That demeanor. Like, I'm going to do me. I don't care about you. I don't care what the critics say.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter what the fans say, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the boos were very loud in week 2. I'm guessing there's going to be more, like, church vibes the rest of the season at NRG. Because I don't think there's going to be a lot of people there.
Yeah, probably not.
Like, when the Bills come to town, it's going to be a lot of people there. Bills fans.
Mm-hmm.
When the Raiders come to town, there's going to be a lot of people there. Raiders fans. It's going to be a quieter stadium. And
well, they'll be loud. It'll be empty, but they'll voice their opinion.
They should.
Yeah.
Because I hope fans are angry, like, at this point. You know, you shouldn't be apathetic about how this team is playing. You should be upset because this is a huge disappointment.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, he just doesn't care. Like, again, you're right, Jeremy. Like, it's fine. It's fine. He doesn't care. But it doesn't mean the fans aren't going to care. And the fans' opinion doesn't matter for everything, I guess. But it's just... I just think it seems not intelligent to intentionally piss off your fan base when you're playing as poorly as they are as a team.
Go Texas.
I think so too. It's a lack. I don't think he's unaware though. I don't think he's unaware. I think it's I don't care.
Is that
more
worse
than unaware?
Isn't that worse though?
In a way? I kind of like that attitude a little bit more. I'd rather him be aware and just be like screw you than unaware and dumb, you know? And I don't think that's I think he's very aware. I think he is.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know for sure. Texter, he's wearing a Texans Rangers hat Sunday versus the Titans. Well, he's got to match his outfit. He's got to match the blue and the red that he's going to have on his outfit walking into the game on Sunday. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Tyler, you're in the junkyard. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So the biggest issue with C.J. Stroud is just the vibe that he puts off. Last season, you got to deal with the waterworks in the middle of the game, and it's whispers of, hey, is CJ soft? Looks like it. And then now he's not playing well, and every time he goes up to the podium, he looks like your kid, and you're telling him, you know, why he should not be making terrible decisions. It's just hard to deal with. When things are going good, he's happy, like he has his chest puffed out like everybody else. When things are going bad, it looks like he shrinks. That's not a leader of men. I'm tired of seeing it. That's all I got on CJ Stroud, guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's... The collective body, not to single out CJ too much, but the collective body language is not good. I know D'Amico said today in his press conference he was yelling at a referee, not at Nick Kaylee, even though it looked like that. I think that's probably some fancy camera work a little bit more. We were a little misled by it, but I mean, he was upset, and then CJ threw a pick the next play.
So. Yeah, I went back and watched that to see if like what D'Amico said there added up, and it did. Okay. Like that, it did check out. Like you can actually see the referee who's standing right next to Kaylee talk back to D'Amico. Mm-hmm. So it was just like you didn't have the full picture, and then the way that the camera captured it, it presented another story.
Yeah,
which is kind of scary
because it really looked like he was screaming. I thought so,
but he was screaming to the referee next to Nick Kaylee.
Yeah,
because and you actually do see the referee over the ball doing they subbed. You can't snap it yet. And they didn't sub.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why he was mad, rightfully so. But he wasn't yelling at Kaylee, which the TV, the way that they cut to D'Amico and then they cut to Kaylee, it definitely made it look like he was talking to or yelling at Kaylee.
Big time.
But no, he wasn't. Yeah, I already read that text there, guy. All glory goes to, nope, not reading that. On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the current, how would you rate the concern with the Texans heading the way of the Cowboys, Jags, Dolphins, overpaid mediocre quarterbacks leading the team? Look, I still think that Stroud's good. Like, I really do. Like, I think he's a pro. I think he is a victim of circumstance here.
Okay, I'm not concerned about giving CJ the money just yet. I'm a little hesitant still. The problem is everything we've been talking about this year is I don't think the Houston Texans organization could build a winning football team around a $60 million quarterback.
Yep.
That's the problem, is that there are so many flaws with this roster. Still, 3 years into this build with CJ Stroud, that Nick Casera has not been able to adequately, you know, address that if you're paying Nico Collins, CJ Stroud, Will Anderson, Derek Stingley Jr., around $180 to $190 million between those four players, how the hell are you building a roster up, man? You can't draft offensive linemen. You can't develop offensive linemen.
Nope.
You can't address the running back room. You can't find wide receivers that are making separation. You can't stop. They did okay versus the run game. But like all those expensive pieces on defense got to start going away. How are you going to replace Kamari Lassiter? Because he won't be able to be on this team when you pay all those guys. So I'm very concerned about where this roster is at, and then if you factor in paying both Anderson and CJ at one time, how they really go from there.
Yeah.
And avoid being stuck in mediocrity.
No, it's a valid point, because the salary cap pie is going to be eaten by very few guys, and that's going to be very difficult to construct a team around. It's going to be stars and scrubs, and your stars might not be great relative to the rest of the league, especially if you have a quarterback who like needs help around him, which that is most quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, how many quarterbacks don't need help around them? Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, end of list. Like, Mahomes looks like he needs help right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the end of the list right now. I mean, Jalen, you know, because he doesn't throw the ball to AJ Hurt.
But he was, I mean, Pound that much. He was fantastic in the second half yesterday.
He was. No, that's why I think they could win without AJ Brown.
Oh, no doubt.
You have Devonta as well, but I think Saquon obviously helps them, but that's not a high price premium position.
Yeah. No, point. I wouldn't put him in that list either. Like, I think it's Allen and Lamar.
Yeah.
Like, two guys that would win regardless of what is around them.
Yep.
And even Lamar has Henry, you know? But I mean, he was good before Henry. Allen, they get rid of pretty much everybody.
And with Lamar, like, they've found pieces. They have Zay Flowers. We've seen DeAndre Hopkins score two touchdowns this year. They've had some struggle as a tight end, but they've been able to replace guys. They've done well in their build of their team. And the Texans just haven't.
No.
They've missed on too much. I mean, Kenyon Green just got waived for like the fifth time today by the Eagles.
He got waived again.
Like, that should be your starting left guard.
Should. As long as he's not wearing another football's team's hat, it doesn't really bother me. Maybe CJ will wear a Titans hat next week. He was wearing a black shirt with a navy Yankee hat. It's not even matching. Screw that guy.
Should wear a White Sox hat.
Maybe stop worrying about what he's wearing and worry about the play. You're right. We haven't done that at all. We haven't worried about CJ Stroud's play whatsoever. That has never been a talking point in the long history of the show. Never once have we talked about CJ Stroud's play. Ever. 713-780-3776. Eddie, we'll get to you on the other side. I'll hear from D'Amico, too, his thoughts and something that irritated Joe. It is Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, Houston, the Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Walmart has more than a half a billion of items online. You can find a huge selection of items that you can't find in store. And who knew that unlike other grocery stores, Walmart's grocery prices are the same for delivery as they are in store. We literally last night were going through our fridge and just started throwing everything out that's not coming with us on this move to our new house we're renting this week. And we're already starting to put together our grocery list so we can just get it all from Walmart, make it nice and easy, and have it delivered as fast as an hour. Fees and terms apply. You can use express delivery to get all the eligible things you need from Walmart, from groceries to home goods to prescriptions, subject to availability. You can learn more at walmart.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. We are the J team. 713-780-3776. No NFL expert, but have the Texans tried not to be booty? I think they're trying not to be booty. They just are booty.
I guess.
Or booty. Unless you have superstar players willing to play for less like Brady did, it will be difficult to roster build when 2 to 3 players take a large chunk of the cap pie. I like that word that we invented to describe that, a little cap pie.
Yes and no. I mean, we're seeing teams have success. Like the notion that you have to win a Super Bowl under a rookie contract is changing, or even get to the Super Bowl. Like we saw the Chiefs got there last year. They didn't win it.
Mahomes took a discount, though.
He did. It was, what, $500 million over 10 years?
Yeah, but it lowered the yearly.
Yeah, because a lot of that, and there was a lot of bonuses in there. So he did take a little bit of a discount. I mean, Jalen Hurts isn't a top-paid quarterback, and he's up there, but he's not one of the top guys. I think part of it's more just like if you pay someone like a Trevor Lawrence $55 million and they're not that, then it's literally impossible to have success. And that's the question about CJ Stroud. Like, can he get back to that level?
I think he can with the right pieces in place.
I am wavering a little bit, to be honest with you. I'm wavering on that CJ can still be that guy.
Is it the hat?
No, it's just the – it's what you talked about earlier. It's the drifting. It's the interceptions that still seem very uncharacteristic of what he did at Ohio State and as a freshman, as a rookie in the NFL, I should say. That's where there are things that are happening that I have concerns that are creating very bad habits. And it's just more of a lack of faith of what's going on around him. Like, how do you convince CJ Stroud he doesn't have to drift in the pocket without like can you fix your offensive line to make that go away? I don't know if you can. I don't know. Like sometimes with quarterbacks, like it just gets built into them when that happens. So he has to be able to break that, but he also has to have the guys in front of them that allow him to break that. You know, you have to protect this guy. And that's where, going back to what we talked about earlier, if I will be frustrated, disappointed, if Ariante Arisuri is your left tackle this weekend, I think it would be a mistake. Cam Robinson's the better left tackle right now. You should play him. Put their best foot forward. You want to talk about turning the season around? The season's not dead yet. Tim Settle said, you can only go up from here. That's true, Tim. Thank you. You can't get worse than 0-3. You're not going to go 0-17, I don't think.
That's the benefit of being at rock bottom, is that there's nowhere else to go.
Yeah, now how much higher can you go? Is it 3 wins? Is it 8 wins? We don't know, but you got to put your best foot forward, and if they want to do that, then playing Cam Robinson, your left tackle, I think it starts there.
They got to put their best left tackle forward?
Yes.
I mean, he was a $12 million man. He was your prized free agent acquisition in the offseason. Now, look, Cam Robinson's probably not the solution, but who would be better at left tackle today, Cam or Ursary? I think it's pretty clearly Cam Robinson. Also, for me, I think it's very clearly Woody Marks better than Nick Chubb. Like, give Woody Marks more touches than Nick Chubb. Marks had 7 touches yesterday. Nick Chubb had 12. Flip it. And they probably need to run it a little bit more if the passing game's not going to be very good. I mean, they averaged 4.5 yards a carry yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not awful.
But they both did. That's why I don't know why they went away from the run game as much. Like, it's having some
hashtag
success.
Kaylee.
Like, why are you changing? Like, I see more of Woody Marks, like you said, just constantly touching the rock. And I mean, look, Nick Chubb's looked okay, I think. But you got to have some faith that the run game is going to work. And that's where I think the young offensive coordinator is, okay, we have to score. So he's trying to throw it more and more and more. And that's what leads to the game plan.
I think he's trying to find his, like, rhythm. But I think it's a negative in terms of winning the football game, quite frankly. It's like we're going to throw the ball 40 times, get C.J. Stroud in a rhythm, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, this isn't great. Like, we're not moving the ball, and we actually ran the ball a little bit. Probably should have done that a little bit more. But is Ursary playing left tackle the best thing for winning? Like, I'm not sure they're making the best decisions for winning at the moment.
No.
Jaybird, did y'all mention that Stroud throws off his back foot a lot now? No, we don't break down Stroud's actual play. We only talk about the hats that he wears, Jaybird. You have to catch up. You have to pay attention here a little bit. CJ should wear the back of Christian Walker's baseball card in his hat. I don't want that. Nope. Don't want that. CJ just needs to play Sam Houston State to feel better. He can flex on him, too.
You know what? I will say, like, CJ better not do what Arch did this weekend against the Titans. I don't want to see CJ Stroud rushing for a touchdown and flexing on the 0-3 Titans.
It's a little different. I mean, the Texans are 0-3, too. I think the Texans opened up as a 7-point favorite.
Last I saw it was down to 6.5.
You got bet down by the Sharps.
Yeah, which I wonder how much more it's going to. I mean, the Titans are awful. They're so bad.
Phillip 68, can we call you guys? Nope, can't call us that, Phillip 68.
You can flip it. The JBs.
Well, you're not a JB.
I'm J, you're B. Joe Brown.
Oh. Hey, how about it's your first name, last name? That's confusing. You confuse me. Should we tank and go for the number one pick? Why not? Get a little more Sellers in here.
I can't wait to be arguing with you about if the Texans should draft Jeremiah Love or draft a left tackle.
That high?
Yeah.
No.
He's sick.
I did look at
Are you already on mock draft season?
I'm always looking at mock drafts. I always look at mock drafts cuz I like to be current on like who's like the hot commodities usually for best ball purposes. Mm-hmm. But I mean I've been on best ball drafts or mock drafts. Anytime I see a mock draft, I look at it. But I did go to NFL Tankathon today to see where the Houston Texans would be picking if the NFL draft was tomorrow.
Where's that?
Sixth. Six pick, baby.
I'm not going to be a little higher if it's going to be this bad, to be honest.
We're going to go back to draft season in Houston.
Awesome. Can't wait.
I'm going back to it. Rhythm dude is dancing with three left feet. It's kind of like me dancing. Texans are the only team to 0-3 to make the playoffs before. I don't think it's the only team. I think it's the most recent team. Slowick is smiling right now. Texans should have kept him for one more year. Texans should fire Kaylee and give Mike McCarthy a call. Ugh.
I mean, Slowick's going to be the offensive coordinator for the Dolphins this year, so... He'll get his chance with, like,
he's not going to call plays. You think he'll call plays?
When McDaniel gets fired, yeah.
Who? They would make Weaver the interim?
That's my guess.
Who is their OC, though?
Actually, I don't know.
I'm sure they have an OC. And it's not Slowick, because Slowick's their passing game coordinator. Unless they fired him, too. Yeah, it's Frank Smith.
I don't know who that is.
I mean, he'd probably call the plays, unless they fire him as well, which is possible. They do that sometimes.
I mean, Bobby could just be the interim.
No, he couldn't. They would give it to Weave.
Yeah, they'll give it to Weave.
713-780-3776. So something D'Amico said yesterday triggered you, right?
Yeah, a little
bit. This triggered you. A couple of other things that D'Amico had to say. Maybe it will trigger you. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
St. Arnold, a beer for everyone. Their beer garden is a place for everyone. And for private events, they've got a space for everyone. They've got space for groups from 20 to 300 people. Weddings, family reunions, big birthday bashes, company happy hours, trade shows, holiday parties. I mean, look, the holidays are right around the corner. It would be a fabulous place to have your company outing at St. Arnold Beer Hall. We had the ESPN 97.5, 92.5 listener appreciation party. Joseph, who helped set it all up, made it super easy for everything. I mean, we told him we wanted to have the games on. He showed us how to do that. We were able to put our sponsor logos up on one of the big screens and really just made all the process smooth and easy. And if you're planning a big event, that's what you want. You don't want this to be a headache. You want to make it as nice and easy and simple as possible. And since you're a listener to this fine station, mention ESPN or My Name Joe and receive their brewery game package free for your event. That game package gets you a combo of dartboards, Jenga, cornhole, and a pool table. And as a bonus, the photo booth as well. Get started at StArnold.com. Click on private events. That's StArnold.com. Click on private events.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. 713-780-3776. So this triggered Joe, he says. Clip from D'Amico Ryan's after the game yesterday. Let's take a listen. D'Amico, after the game yesterday.
The things we can clean up, right, then we'll – and we play winning football, then we'll have a chance to turn it around. But, again, man, we're close. That's what it is. We're close, but close isn't good enough. So we got to pick it up and find a way to get a win.
And this triggered the things.
Yeah, now, he clarified today by trying to say the games are close. That doesn't help the clip at all about being close. Whether you think the team is close to being good, close to winning games – I get it. It's 3-1 score games that you've lost. You know, could have won all three. You could be 3-0. Like, the argument's there. But I just don't need to hear about being close when you're 0-3 and your season's probably over. You've been talking all season about being close. I think what annoys me about it is CJ and D'Amico talked all last year, and Bobby, about turning it on and getting the offense going. And they were confident the offense was going to get going. And I know it doesn't really matter what you say to the media, but it just makes me feel like that they internally also believe these things. That, yeah, because the game is close. We're okay. It's just a lie.
Yeah, I don't think that he meant it the way that you received it. I think that he legitimately meant, like, we're close to winning all these games, which technically he's true. Like, I get your frustration. Like, you don't really want to hear that when you're 0-3. But at the same time, like, who really cares what the guys at the post at the podium are saying? 99% of the time, it really doesn't matter, although we'll make fun of it. I think that he was legitimately saying we're trying to win these games. Like, or not, of course they are, that they're legitimately close to winning these games, because they are. The Rams game, you fumbled it in the red zone, close to winning that game. Tampa Bay game obviously was close. You were close to winning that game, couldn't get the defensive stop. And then yesterday, like, you're driving within the red zone, you fumble the football, like, you were close to winning that game. I think that's what he actually does mean. I don't think he's saying, like, we're close from our offense to start clicking. I don't think he's suggesting that. He did say that today. Like, did he have a different meaning yesterday? I personally don't think so. But I understand where you're coming from. That, like, hey, like, whatever, man. Like,
but also, just it doesn't matter. Like you can be as close as you've been in these games to win, you're not winning them.
No.
You're not doing what you did CJ Stroud's rookie year. You're not winning these games when you need to. You're not doing what Baker Mayfield's doing this year. Baker Mayfield is 3-0 and has three games in which he drove his team down the field to win. And he's gotten help, of course, and CJ's not had help, and that's why it's not all on CJ. But it doesn't matter that you're close.
My pushback would be, though, like, what do you want him to say?
Some honesty?
Why, though? Like, what his
I think it'd be refreshing.
When he goes to the podium, his motive, his goal, his rationale isn't to please you.
No, but I think I don't think putting pressure on your players publicly is a bad thing.
It depends.
He knows his team better than we know his team.
Yeah,
right?
Like, so it's like, very clearly, like, his message to the team is like, okay, let's remain, like, and this is his personality. Like, he is a positive individual. That is 100% fact. So he's not going to ever go behind a podium and be like, we're the worst team in the world. Let's like, it's not him. Mm-hmm. It's just not. Like, if you're expecting that from D'Amico Ryan, you're going to be disappointed forever. Like, he's always upbeat. He's always positive. I think it can be helpful. Maybe sometimes it's not helpful, but that is who he is as a person.
It is, and that's where, being a former player, he's going to have a different approach than most other coaches, right? Because if he was called out by one of his head coaches, whether it's here in Houston or in Philadelphia, I'm sure that did not sit well with him, and that's why he is taking this approach. But, you know, if you lose by a touchdown to the Baltimore Ravens, because I'm assuming they're going to beat the Titans, it doesn't, you know, are you close? Are you going to say you're close if you only beat the Titans by, or that the Titans were close if you only win by 4 points?
Probably not.
Like, is the messaging going to be the same? So, yeah, it doesn't really matter. But my concern is that that's what's translating behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. That it's, hey, guys, we're close. Like, we're close in these games. And that, it really shouldn't matter. You're 0-3. It's about wins and losses. It's not about being close.
So, I guess, how much would you rather it be the D'Amico Ryan's approach of just saying a whole lot of nothing versus the, say, Nick Saban approach of being angry the entire time while still saying a whole lot of nothing?
I prefer it. I think I prefer just not hearing, you know, smile and, like, seeing a guy smile at the podium when you're losing. I know I'm not the only one that feels this way, but, like, it's not inspiring in any way to think the Texans are going to turn it around for when they've been telling us the same messaging for a year and a half at this point?
Yeah, I don't really care what a coach says at the podium. Like, I just dismiss 99% of it unless I'm going to make fun of it. Like, the reason that they're doing what they do at the podium is, quite frankly, to send a message to the team. Now, you could argue, like, hey, is the positivity the right proper message? But I don't think it's the same behind the closed doors. I think his demeanor when he's sitting in front of the team, in front of their video review, when they're watching the film, is much different than, you know, him at the podium. Now, is he positive? Like, yeah, that's his style. Here was another one from D'Amico. He says that he was asked, like, hey, do you guys have the right people in place to fix it? D'Amico says they do.
Yeah, for our offense, right, overall, we're all in this thing together, right? Of course, we want to play better offensively, right? We all are sticking together. We got to find a way to make sure we figure it out. And we will, because I know we have the right people, right? We got the right staff. We got the right players. We just got to figure it all out, and we got to go show it. It's not me saying it. We just got to go show it, and that's when we'll see the improvement.
There you go. Right people in place. Again, go ahead.
I hope that with that comes what we were talking about earlier, some changes. You know, getting, you know, if you have the right people. Like, I do think Juice Scruggs flipping with Tomlinson during the game, I think, is a step in the right direction of that, of, okay, we're not just letting the status quo, you know, be here of what this offense has been. And I hope that's more of seeing more of Higgins and Knoll and seeing those guys be more actively involved in the game plan. And maybe Woody Marks is part of that too. Like, if you have the right pieces, but you're just not playing them right now, that's fine. That's fine. But then make the changes, you know, because the current pieces don't look right. So you can have the right pieces, but if they're not all playing right now, that should change with it.
I took it more as the staff than the personnel is how I heard that. But yeah, I would push back at that. Again, he's not going to say anything else. He has to say that we have the people in place. He's not going to be like, nope, Nick Caley was a terrible hire. Yeah. Like, he's not going to say that. Now, is he 100% honest? I don't know that he is that confident in Nick Caley right now, but I don't know. Maybe he does. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Philip, you're in the junkyard. What's up, Philip?
Hey, guys. I think I can speak to a lot of people that the bigger issue is they keep doing the same stuff over and over, and they're not trying different things. And it's like they always say, the definition of insanity. You keep doing the same thing, expect a different result. And it's like, maybe we need to try things that are a little less orthodox. Maybe we go four wide a couple times a game and see if you can run the football. Maybe it's just the run and shoot era that I grew up in, but Lorenzo White ran the ball pretty darn well in the run and shoot when he spread the linebackers out into coverage and weaken the middle there. And maybe just a couple looks like that, maybe some design runs for Stroud, maybe run the 2-minute offense to start a game and catch the other team off guard and get some tempo. They don't try things. And that's what, if they were trying different things and they weren't getting results, at least we'd see that there's an effort to recognize, hey, we need to switch things up. We need to think about the game in a different way, that maybe we can find something that works and we can ride that the rest of the year. But it's just the same stuff over and over. It's just like, we have to do better. We have to execute. Well, the other team executes too. So you just got to be better than the other team, and right now they're not. So maybe you have to scheme to get around that. And whether that's more delayed handoffs or biting the defense and trying to run more screens, anticipating those pass rushes, you just don't see them doing anything different when they're not learning from their mistakes. And that's what's really frustrating.
Yeah.
Thanks,
well,
guys.
Well said. It's a good point, Philip. Texans are a dumpster fire. It's a junkie. Is D'Amico a guy that says all the right things but fails when it comes to executing what he says? I think he's just trying to keep the locker room upbeat and they don't quit on the season. I think that's what he's trying to do. All right, 713-780-3776. The Texans lost their 0-3. They weren't the only disaster in Houston over the weekend. The Astros were swept in the biggest series of the year. The bad and the ugly from that. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Very shortly here, we'll be making some trips back out to ESPN Bat at LaBerge in Lake Charles. It was great when they rebranded it. I love being there. And I'm so excited to get back to be there for the upcoming football season, for the MLB playoffs, for all the NFL, NCAA action going on, and plus being there for a UFC fight, I didn't even mention that earlier. It is an incredible environment. Even the Mike Tyson fight, we were there for that, and it was awesome inside the sportsbook. They got a new chef, new menu items, and they have a brand new VIP fan cave sections that is available for booking. Football season, Monday night football, Thursday night, college Saturdays. It is the destination to go to when you want to leave Houston and bet on your favorite teams. And they also have special barbecue offerings every Friday and Saturday. It's a sports book for me. Should be the sports book for you. Check them out. LaBerge in Lake Charles.
Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
ESPN 97.5.